Scriptures today. Psalm 119. No. That joke would only go over in church, right? Nobody has to get it. All right, Psalm 127 and 128. They're both very short psalms, and we're going to read them. So if you will take your Bible and turn there, the book of Psalms is in the middle of your book, middle of your Bible, God's book that He's given to us. And when you find it, if you don't mind, stand and we will read it together. If you don't have a Bible, there is one in your pew you can follow along with. Psalm 127. Here we go. Psalm 127. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Israel, all the days of thy life. He thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let's pray. Brother, can you ask the blessing, please?
Dear Lord, we come into you in prayer this morning, God. We want to pray that you can bless this church and this service this morning. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, and your kindness towards us, God. We just pray, Lord, that we open up our hearts to the sermon that's going to be preached this morning. And I pray you can put your hands on the preacher and on the message, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. These two psalms are psalms of the family, and they show how the Lord is interested in the family and how He works in the family. In the first Psalm 127, we have the illustration of the components of the family. In Psalm 127, the father is likened to a mighty man that takes a bow, and he's likened to a watchman. He's likened to a builder that builds a house. In Psalm 128, we have 127, the children are like arrows. They're likened to fruit. They're likened to warriors in their own right, talking to the enemy in the gate. And in Psalm 28, the man is a husbandman. He's a gardener, and he eats what he grows. The mother is likened to a vine that clings to the wall of the house. You know, your wife is supposed to cling to you and draw on your strength, and you're supposed to be able to hold up that house. She clings to her husband, and the children are like olive plants that will grow up and bear fruit. Now, it's my desire that in this church we have many Christians that have a daily walk with the Lord, and we talked about that last week. They have a daily quiet time where they go to the Lord, and the Lord ministers to them and nourishes them and nourishes their soul, and in that turn, they take that to their children, and they take it to other people, the care that God has given them, take that back to their families and nourish and build up those children for the glory of God. Proverbs 14:1 says this. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So you're doing one of two things this morning. You're either building your house or you're plucking it down. Now, I don't believe that anybody here this morning would intentionally want to pluck your house down. You won't want to take it down. You may be doing it unintentionally by neglecting some of the things in these scriptures, but I don't think you're intentionally doing it. Or the other way you may be plucking it down is through neglect. The roof is falling down because you're not putting into your house what needs to be put in. We're building or breaking it down. And the Lord doesn't leave us alone to figure out how to build it. He teaches us what to do. And now this is something that God's really been laying on my heart with my own children and also with the church. You know, the largest demographic in our church is families with children. And then the children themselves, they represent about 1/3 of our congregation or children. Little children that are growing up. Isn't that a blessing? When I got here, there was no need for a nursery because there were no children. There were not needs for Sunday school. There was one Sunday school class with one kid that didn't want to be there. That was it. And praise the Lord now that we have these and we have these needs. It's a very important part. And I want you to write these things down and pray about them and take them back to your family. There was a billionaire, and his name was J. Paul Getty, and he wrote an autobiography. And at the time, he was one of the richest men in the world, about $4 billion at the time, when $1 billion was worth a lot more than it is today. And he wrote his autobiography, and he says, "I've never been given to envy except for one thing. The envy I feel toward those people who have the ability to make marriage work and endure happily. It's an art that I've never been able to master. My record? 5 marriages, 5 divorces, and in short, 5 failures. He said this, "I have been an abject failure in the things that really matter." And I believe the greatest gift that God can give you outside of life and salvation is when he gives you a human, a child, to raise. A little boy or a little girl that he allows you to steward over, and that child grows up. And the greatest investment we can make as parents is in our children. Remember, children don't make a rich man poor, they make a poor man rich. And one day, as a church, if we invest in our children, when this building burns down and we're all dead and gone, we're going to have something that meets us in eternity, because we're going to influence a generation that will influence a generation and affect thousands of people going forward. And that will be something that's very worthwhile doing in eternity. That's why we want to make children's ministries here a big deal, and we need you. Everybody has a part in that. You being here this morning is a part in that. And so we want to do that. But here's the first thing that we need to know if we're going to learn the Bible basics for building a family. Number one, look at verses 1 and 2. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You see, you can, in this verse, you can find out that unless God's the one doing the building, it's all in vain. But the labor is still there, is it not? The labor is there, and you can keep working, and you can keep getting tired, but unless God is in it, it's going to be in vain. Unless God is the one that is helping us build this church or helping you build your family, all the effort that you're going to put in is going to be absolutely in vanity. The first thing you must do is have a right relationship with the master builder. Look at 128 and verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. Look, if you do not fear the Lord, you can't do it. You're a father. You're a husband. You are a grandfather. You're a grandmother, a mother. Look, if you do not fear God, you're not going to be able to succeed in building a family. You cannot do it. And how you know if you fear God is I want you to look at your life. And if you allow things that God does not allow, then you don't fear Him. If you are not doing the things that He wants you to do, then you don't fear Him. Because He gave you some things to do, and He's coming back, and you know what He's going to do? He's going to expect that you did the things He asked you to do. And if you fear Him, you're going to be doing them. If not, when He comes back, you're going to get up off your couch like a middle schooler and be like, oh, I was going to do it. I'm going to take out the trash. If you fear God, you're going to be doing it. You're going to be staying away from what He tells you to stay away from, and you're going to be doing what He tells you to do. Listen, if you want to be a father, if you want to be a mother that honors God, you have to, number one, have the right relationship with the master builder. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's talking about. You have to walk with Him. It says you fear Him and you walk with Him. How do you do that? You daily spend time with Him. You pray to Him. It says He walks in His way. You ever heard somebody say He has a way about Him? Jesus Christ has a way about Him. And if you're walking in His way, you're walking like He walks. You're talking like He talks. You're doing what He does. That's what it means to walk in the way of God. Listen, I remember the first time I held my son. And I looked down at my own flesh and blood. And I looked into his blue eyes, and right there in the hospital, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, He's Yours. Don't let him get lost in this world of sin. I pray that You would save him. And if I never preach a good sermon, and if I never pastor a big church, and if I never do anything well with my life, I want one thing to happen. I want this boy to know You. I want him to know the God that I love and the God that I fear and the God that I serve. And I want him to know his dad is real and he loves God and it is not fake. And God, there's nothing else I want. Lord, please let this child know You. And with tears in my eyes, I held him and I sang, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And I sang it to him. And I know it sounded terrible, but that was in my heart. That's what I wanted for my kids. Look, you can't do it alone. You have to have God. You have to be real. You have to walk in His way. You have to fear Him. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that will. Listen, if you're going to build a house that's going to withstand disaster, you have to know what disaster you're trying to protect it against. Do you know you build houses differently in California than you do in Florida? Do you know you build them different in Alaska than you do in Georgia? I have a friend that's a builder in Alaska, and you know what he says? He said, we're trying to pass our inspection, but the vacuum didn't hold. I said, a vacuum? What are you talking about? When they build a house in Alaska and they come to pass the framing inspection, they come and hook a big vacuum cleaner on the front door. And if you don't get enough millibars of vacuum, they fail your inspection because it matters that there's cracks in the house and it lets air in because you're trying to protect against a different kind of thing than you are in Georgia. In Georgia, you got to protect against termites, and in Alaska, you protect against cold. And why did I say that? Because you don't know what your child's going to face. You don't know where he's going to end up. You don't know what he's going to go through. You don't know who's going to come into his life. And unless you have the blueprints and God is showing you what to do and what to put in that child, you're not going to be able to succeed. You can labor. You can yell. God's not going to stop you from trying to build, but it's going to be in vain. You can put in all the effort that you want to. You can wake up early. You can stay up late. You can eat the bread of sorrow. But unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman watches in vain. Never forget this business of raising children is not something to do alone. You're not supposed to be alone. You're supposed to work with God. You're supposed to draw your power from Him and your strength from Him and put all your hope in Him. You have to follow His blueprints and read His instructions. And even when it gets hard, you know what you don't want to do? You don't want to follow the blueprints because it's difficult to do. You don't want to do the hard things that are necessary because your emotions get in the way. But you know what you have to do? You have to put your emotions aside and do the right thing for the good of the child. It's labor, and it's hard, but unless God's in it, it's all in vain. You're the watchman, Dad. You're the mighty warrior. You're the builder. You're the husbandman. You're responsible for the vine and the plants. You know, the word husband is something that we don't understand very much in today. We know what a husband is. But you know what the word husband is? They would call a gardener a husbandman. He did husbandry. You know what a husband is? It's somebody that takes care of plants and pulls the weeds out of them and trains them and straightens them out. And you know what your job is, Dad, as a husband and as a father? It's to take care of those plants. That's your job. That's what it says. And look, it's not something that you're going to be able to do alone. You're going to have to get the wisdom from God and ask Him for guidance and help for what to do. You can't change them into you. You know, that's the biggest thing I learned. I mean, I thought my child was going to be just like me. And he wasn't. You know? And so I tried to turn him into me. And I found out that God gave him a distinct personality. And God liked it. And God gave it to him because He enjoyed that personality and He thought that child was best fitted for that personality. And you know what you need to do? You need to find out what that is. And get to know it and be able to help the child in that way. And when you see things that are wrong, listen, God gives you child and they're so crooked when He gives them to you that you could screw them into the ground. They're crooked. They are born into trouble as the sparks fly upward. And you know what you will see as a parent? You will see defects in their personalities. And you will see defects in their character. And you know what you try to do? You try to work those out on your own effort and your own ambition. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to fail every time. I've seen those defects and I've tried and I've yelled and I've done everything I could and it just made them worse. But when I got a hold of this verse and found out that unless God build the house, they labor in vain that build it, and I got on my knees with my wife, and I said, God, this is Your child. And these are defects that we see in his character. And God, we can't do anything about it. It's going to take an act of God to change these things and help these things. And God, we'll do our part. But Lord, would You help us? Would You show us what to do? And getting a hold of God and having God come in and work with you and build with you, that's when change is going to take place. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. Let me ask you this. Do you feel alone? When you look at your child, do you have anxiety because of what you see in them? Do you want them to become what God wants or what you want? And do you believe God can come in and help you build the character that they need? Build the resistance to temptation that they need? Do you believe that God can help you do that? Have you asked Him for that help? You can't do it alone. Number two, but you must do it. You must do it. Look at this. Verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of thy youth, of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. You know, arrows are not born straight. They don't grow straight. They don't grow sharp. And they don't grow with an aim. You know what you have to do with an arrow? You have to shape it and make it straight. You know what you have to do with an arrow? You have to sharpen them. They don't naturally come with a sharp point. And you know what you have to do with an arrow? You have to shoot them. They don't naturally aim themselves. And where are we supposed to point them in verse 5? The enemy's at the gate. You know what I find troubling with a lot of Christians? And it's well-meaning. But you know what we want to do? We want to protect them from the world. Right? Maybe you're in here and you don't want to send them to public school because you want to protect them from the world. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe you're in here and you don't let them do certain activities or watch certain activities because you want to protect them from the world. Maybe the reason that you have them now in church this morning is you want to protect them from the evils of the world. And all that is good. But you know what the best defense is? What is it? It's a good offense. And you know what we need to do with our children? We need to aim them and shoot them at the enemies at the gate. You know what we need to do? We need to shoot them at the world to try to reach those people and help our society and to be a blessing. And it says, they will not be ashamed, but they will speak with the enemies at the gate. You know what we need to teach our children to do? To be able to walk up to the enemies at the gate and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can do it well, and they can do it unashamedly, whatever that word is. English is ridiculous. Right? You have to be able to do that. But they're not going to be able to do it if you don't do it. Do you speak with the enemies at the gate? You know what you need to do? You need to go on YouTube and you need to watch Ray Comfort videos, The Good Test, and watch him talk to people and witness to people. And you need to go to HEB and go to the gas station and practice and let your kids watch. You know what I think this word says in the original Greek? It means a fence in the backyard at the Cummings household. That's what the gate means. Not really, but you know. We have pictures of our kids standing there with Bibles and songbooks speaking with the enemy at the gate. That's a blessing. Some of those children have gotten saved, and some of those children have saved themselves from us. Look, shoot them at the world. Listen, you have to do it. It says that they're like arrows. What are you aiming them at? Or are you just trying to protect them? Because they'll never become what God wants them to become if you're just trying to protect them. And then it says, look at the verse here in 128. It says, thy wife, verse 3, shall be as a fruitful vine. She gives you the children by the sides of thy house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Not only are they like arrows, but they're like plants, olive plants. You know what that means? They haven't become an olive tree yet. You know, an olive tree is one of the most important trees in Israel's culture and economy. It provided food, and the oil was used for cooking and anointing and medicinal purposes. You know, the olive tree is one of the first plants noticed in the Bible. In Genesis 8:11, the dove is carrying that olive branch back to Noah. And when it grows, it can bend. But once it becomes grown, when you look at the olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane that were there when Jesus was there, and they're still there, they're so big around you couldn't move them if you wanted to. You know, an olive tree, once it's grown properly and grows into an adult tree, people can eat the olives off of it for 20 generations. They live for thousands of years. And that's what it says, your children, they're like these plants around your table. You know, it's, and I know it doesn't work with everybody's schedule, but, and I'm not trying to turn us back, go back into the dark ages, but one thing that is a blessing is when you sit around the table and you eat dinner, and Dad gets out a Bible and he reads a scripture, and you go around the table and you talk about the day. You know what this is a time for? Putting nutrients into your olive plants. It's trying to straighten out the olive plants. But what was your day like? What were the challenges that you faced today? Well, that is wrong thinking. This is how you think about it. And you know what our table becomes? It becomes like a group therapy session. It's so healthy. And you know what you can do at that table? You can correct so much wrong. You can put in so much truth. You can straighten out so many branches and so many errors. Listen, I don't mind helping your kids when they become adults to try to fix their broken lives. But you know what is better than cure? Prevention. And you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to take care of your olive plants. And you know the problem with a lot of dads? They're just not there. They're not content. They're always after more money and more money and all of these things. And they forget about their children that are sitting in front of them. I may have told you about the family that was going to move one time, and the dad was a typical businessman. He was always busy, and he was always gone, and when he was home, he was always distracted, and nobody could ever talk to him, and he just fell asleep. And his wife said, "Honey, you know, tomorrow we're moving. Remember, we bought a new house, and we're moving. The moving truck is coming, so I don't want you to come back to this address. You know where our new house is. We're going to move there. Don't forget." And he said, "What are you? Who do you think I am that I'm going to forget that we're moving?" He said, "I'm not going to forget that. I can't forget that. I got it. I'll be there." And after work, you know what he did? He pulled up to the wrong house, and there were moving boxes everywhere. And he said, "Oh man, I forgot. I'm never going to live this one down." And he got in his car to go to his new house, but he didn't know how to get there. So he saw this kid riding his bicycle in the street. And he went up to the kid and he said to him, "Hey boy, do you remember the family that used to live there?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you know where they moved to?" And the boy said, "Daddy, Mom told us you were going to forget." Now that might seem a little far-fetched, but listen, kids, they need you. They need your love. They don't need a dropout dad. Listen, if a girl doesn't get affection from her father, she's going to have an inordinate desire for affection, and she will give that affection to any young man that's willing to give it, but he wants something bad in return. If a young man doesn't have affection from his father, he's going to develop insecurity, and he's going to try to be a macho man, or then he's going to be turned into an effeminate man. You can love them all you want, but if you do not communicate that love, then there is no love. There cannot be any love apart from a personal connected relationship with your child. And you know what happens? You suffer. As a parent, you suffer in three ways. And here's the ways you suffer. You lose the opportunity to enjoy your kids. You lose the opportunity to learn from your kids. You lose your legacy. Your kids are connected to you, but not your job. Your marriage suffers. Your wife will pick up the slack, but you'll lose the opportunity to learn from your kids, and she'll get tired and resentful. Your children will suffer. Your child's self-esteem and confidence depends on you. You know what you know what you answer? Am I likable? Am I worthy? Am I smart? They get the answers from you. Your child's relationship with God depends on you. You know, a child can't distinguish the difference between their earthly father and their heavenly father. And if they are distant with you, they will be distant with God, and they will struggle for the rest of their life to be close to God. Let me ask you, how are your olive plants doing? Do you know where they need you? Do you know where they're deficient? Do you know where you're supposed to be actively involved? Number three, recognize your blessing and get to work. Look at verse 3. And if you guys don't mind, set that up now. And I'll get there in a second. Don't pay any attention to these guys. They're just getting some tables and chairs to set them up here. Just completely ignore them. This is not happening. Look at verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You know what they are? It says they're a heritage of the Lord, and they're the fruit of the womb, and it's His reward. You can't create life. Only God can do that. And they're from God. It's His reward. They're His arrows. They're just passing through. They're here and they're gone. They're not ours. We didn't give them life. We didn't put them in their bodies, and we won't take them back out. You know, we can't manufacture time. Did you know that? You can't live in the past, and you can't live in the future. You can only live in the present. And you know what C.S. Lewis said, and I got this from listening to that book, the Screwtape Letters. And if you ever want to see how the devil works in people's lives, you should listen to that book or read it. But you know what the devil tries to do? He tries to keep you to live in the past or in the future. You know why? Because the only place that time and eternity touch is in the present, right now. This is the only second you can receive the grace that you need from God. You can enjoy the pleasures that God gives you. And you know what He tries to get you to do? If you live in the past, that's better than living in the future, because the past is concrete, it's unchangeable, and it can bring regret and repentance. But living in the future, you're living in something that is not real, and it won't come to pass the way that you think it does. And so the devil keeps you living somewhere that is not real and will not really happen how you think it happens, because he tries to distract you from what is happening. And you know what we often think about? What our children will become. And we spend our time, we'll do this when they get to this place, when we get to this place. Listen, they're a heritage from the Lord. It's the fruit of His womb, and you need to enjoy the blessing that you have right now and stop thinking about the future. Listen, thank God I'm young enough to straighten some things out, but I wish I would have enjoyed I don't know if I'll ever have another newborn. I don't. But if you have one, listen to the laughs. Enjoy the smiles. You know how a newborn cries and screams? That's a blessing. Because you know what I did a lot of times? I woke up and I'm like, uh-oh, I can't hear anything. And go in the middle of the night, run to the crib. And has any other parent ever done that? You know? Listen, enjoy those things. Enjoy your kids now. Enjoy them where they're at. Why? Because it's a blessing that God has given you. Look at 128. Kids, they make many a poor man rich. You know, I asked the old man if he would have done anything different. And you know what he said? He said, I would have planted more oak trees. You know, I would have raised more oak trees for the Lord. Look at 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. When are you blessed? Are you blessed later or now? Now. I want you to look at this. Verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hand, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That applies to all of us. Thy wife shall be as thy fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, and thy children like olive plants round thy table. Look at 4. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. How will he be blessed? Like this. Hey, if I can have my family come to the table. These are my fruitful vine, and these are my olive plants. And this is how God has blessed me. I'm not waiting on the blessing of God. I'm not waiting to one day be blessed by God. This is life. This is the time that God has given me. And this is the blessings that He's given me. And you guys are blessed the same way. Learn to enjoy the blessings of God that you have right now. God said, this is how I'm going to bless you. This is how you're going to be blessed. You say, I don't have family. Yeah, you do. You have us. Brother Phil, come sit. Here's my olive plants. And you know how helps me build them? People in the church. Amen? Brother Phil doesn't have his own olive plants. But you know what he does? He spends time with my olive plants. And he puts things into them. And you know, this is how we're blessed. This is how we're a church family. This is how we work together. We enjoy the blessings of God. And I hope that you guys can go sit down. I hope that we can recognize it. And I hope we can repent of the... Listen, when somebody dies, you look at all the furniture and all the possessions and you're like, that's nothing. That's nothing. You know what I love about the Lord? And I read this reading about Solomon. Solomon prayed to the Lord and he said, I want wisdom and I want to know how to lead your people that are so great. And you know what God did? He blessed him with the most wisdom he's given any man outside of Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? Did Solomon honor that or did he throw it all away and become something terrible? He threw it away. God didn't withhold the future problems. God knew about it, but he enjoyed that time he had with Solomon right then. And it was so good. And we benefited from it so much. I don't know what my children will become. I don't know what they're going to do. But this might be the best time that I have with them. I want to enjoy it. But my oldest son's 11. In a couple more years, I'm going to go from being wise to being the dumbest person on earth. Okay? And you know when he's going to appreciate me again? When he gets married and starts having problems and having his own kids. Then he'll be like, man, my dad, but maybe I won't be here then. Maybe he won't be here then. Listen, whatever time that you have, enjoy it right now. And enjoy it right now. And do the difficult things that need to be done. And if your children are far away, get on your knees and ask God. You know, one thing I thought about the prodigal father. He said, you can't do it at home, and he sent him away with all his sin. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't send money to the far country. And he didn't go visit him in the far country. And he let him hit rock bottom in the far country. And he's like down there with the pigs. And he's like, I want to see Dad. I have to get up from where I'm going and I have to leave the pig pen and I have to go home. So if they're out there, don't finance their riotous living. Pray and ask God to bring them home. And in the meantime, enjoy the blessings, the moments that you have in life, and be a part of this beautiful thing that God gave. You say, okay, good, I'm sold, I want to be a good dad. But it's just so, there's so much to do. You know, the Bible says he told his disciples to ask them for their daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And sometimes this can seem insurmountable, but God doesn't expect us to achieve perfection, but just to ask him every day. And here's five ways you can become a great dad or a parent. Five ways, okay? Really quickly, ask your spouse how you're doing. And ask them to be gentle and not tell you everything at once, but to tell you. Okay? Ask your spouse how you're doing. They know. Number two, ask your kids how you're doing as a dad. That's a scary question. But ask them. And they'll tell you. Ask them how you can be better and ask them what they need from you as a dad. Number three, ask your best friend how you're doing. Tell him to be honest and don't pull any punches or you'll punch him. Number four, ask God how you're doing as a parent. Ask him to reveal the truth to you. You know, God's more interested in your role as a parent and the happiness and well-being of your family than you are. Number five, stop thinking that you know everything about parenting and read some books on parenting. You don't know it all. You need help. And I can give you a recommendation. These questions actually come from a book called Winning the Parenting War by Dr. David E. Clark. Read some books. You know, we're not born with everything we need to know how to be successful at things. We have to learn them. And parenting and marriage and all that stuff, it's no different. Read some books. Stop being so arrogant, thinking you know everything. You don't know everything. I don't know everything. Nobody does. And just a few pages of a book can change your life. A few sermons you listen to can change your life. But let's enjoy the blessings of God. Let's pray. If I can have the piano player come, bow your head and close your eyes, and if God spoke to your heart, just do some business with God. Pray for your kids. Pray for the kids in the church. There's many, many, many of them. Pick one out sometime when you're sitting here that you should pray for. Lord, I come before you and I want to thank you so much, Father, for this sermon that you put on my heart, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would see that you have blessed us and we need to ask you to have our eyes open to see the good that we have in front of us already. God, help us all to do better and be stewards of God. These are not our kids. They're people that are passing through and they're going places. And you have them docked at our place for a while. And God, help us to minister to them and love them and be a blessing to them. And we pray this in Jesus' name.